Scott Nations joins us, well, a lot of times, but especially when we are confused or don't know what the Fed is saying or doing. Scott, always great to have you on the show.
Thanks, John. It's good to be here.
Do you like being the Fed translator?
It's interesting to be the Fed translator, and you know, sometimes the Fed needs to be translated. Alan Greenspan famously said that if we understood what he had said, then he had made a mistake.
Oh, so it was always a little too tough for us to get
there
through.
We go.
That totally makes sense. Before we get to, I'm going to play some clips for you and from the Chicago Fed Prez that we heard today. But I did want to ask you just in general, do you think this week is a very much of a holding pattern till we find out that inflation data Thursday? Just because two inflation reports ago, everyone was in a good mood. The last one, everyone was in a bad mood. This is a big one that comes out Thursday.
It is, and we've had some disappointing inflation data over the past couple of months, which is why we're here right now. I think the data on Thursday will be important, as will corporate earnings. We're going to start getting corporate earnings reports for the third quarter of the year, and those are going to be important also.
All right. I know Iridian's answering the phone calls, too. Iridian, you okay? We'll to play a clip as well. Let's go ahead and, Scott, this was again from the Chicago Fed Prez, Charles Evans, and he was chatting about supply chains and labor shortages. Let's hear this clip.
Labor shortages in a lot of localities that I think are making parts unavailable further down the production line. And so that's, you know, led to less improvement in some goods availability than we would like.
Okay. What translate that for us, Scott?
Well, he's pointing out that potential employers are having a very, very difficult time filling jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And this is different than it was pre-pandemic. And the Fed's point of view is that the fact that there seems to be a labor shortage, if you will, is going to contribute to inflation. It's going to force employers to pay more to hire the people that they need and want. And that's going to force those employers to raise the cost, raise the price of everything they make. And they're going to pass those increases along to us. So this is not a new phenomenon. I mean, inflation is higher, but despite that, the unemployment rate remains very low, very, very low. And that is indicative of the fact that it's just tough for people to find employees.
Okay, that made sense to me. Let's go to clip number two, Iridian.
Shelter prices, I think there's a long lag there. There's some indication that the decline in house, reduced increases in housing prices are going to be ultimately positive. But, you know, month to month, it's really hard to know exactly how the report will come out.
Okay, talking about housing prices, the shelter price, a lag. What does he mean?
Well, what he means there is that the process of buying, let's take a step back. The process of buying a new winter coat, that happens really quickly. You go out shopping, you go online, you buy a coat, you're done. It's not that way if you're going to buy a house. It takes a long time. You look around, you got to get a mortgage. It takes a matter of months. And so that's what he means when he says there's a lag, and that it just takes a long time for that to happen. Probably the bigger concern here for the market is the fact that mortgage interest rates have increased so dramatically over the past few months that has to pressure housing prices. So if whoever's buying your house has to pay so much more in interest, they're just not able to pay as much for your house. And
yeah,
so that's gonna pressure prices.
I imagine that the shelter he's talking about could include rent too, because when you sign a lease, that's your rent at least for a year, right? So like, even if you start seeing prices reduced, it takes a while for that to reflect itself, right?
Absolutely. There's a lag in shelter prices, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah.
But you make a great point. You sign a lease for a year, then it's going to take some time for price pressure up or down to manifest itself.
All right. Scott's not going anywhere. I will tell you, though, he's the author of The Anxious Investor, Mastering the Mental Game of Investing. More from him. We'll get some guesses to the question of the day. Well, let's get a look at weather and traffic. Mary Vandeveld, Scott Nations, you ready to do a little bit more translating for the Fed here?
Absolutely. Let's go.
All right. So we've been chatting about the Chicago Fed president who spoke today and talked a lot about the challenges we still face And I think I understood part of it. Let's play clip three.
Demand is still stronger than the limited supply that we have. And so our restrictive monetary policies are geared towards getting demand more in line with the reduced supply at a time when I'm also hopeful that supply is going to start expanding because of the improvement in the supply chains and things like that, with labor hopefully coming back a little bit more. So you put all those things together, and I think that that suggests that over the next 6 months, we should see improvements in inflation. We're going to have to see those improvements, though, and so that's the real challenge.
He used the word supply and demand so many times, I got lost.
Well, I think the interesting thing he said is restrictive policy. So what he's saying is that demand is still greater than supply, and that's just a fancy way of saying he expects more inflation. Okay. And so restrictive policy means higher interest rates engineered by the Fed to reduce that demand. And so what he's saying is they expect more inflation, and so they think that higher interest rates to reduce that inflation would be appropriate right now.
I see that. He should have just said it like that, because that made total sense to me, Scott. We should put you up. I think Charles is on his way out, Mr. Evans. You want to be the Chicago board or Fed board pres?
That may be a job that is really tougher than people think.
I bet.
So I'm not certain that that's right for me.
Okay, let's play clip number four.
I think if you add in adverse geopolitical developments, that would be a real difficult thing to overcome. And so I believe that the scenarios where policy ends up being more restrictive and demand is rocked by it ends up falling would be headline geopolitical risks coming to fruition, or more supply chain issues breaking down, weather events or things like that. So I think that there ought to be some names or events associated with these adverse outcomes that would lead to much higher unemployment. But we have to see how this is going to play out.
I don't know what he just said.
Well, John, he used a whole lot of words for some relatively simple concepts. By adverse geopolitical concerns, I think he's talking mostly about the war in Ukraine.
Right.
And we certainly don't want that to spread. But to the degree that it does, or if it were to spread, then that would really change the calculus of everything that's going on. It might very well, and he talks about this, it might very well decrease demand, which would increase unemployment, which is certainly would be undesired. But I think he's talking about the fact that essentially with us not knowing what's going on precisely in Ukraine, or not knowing precisely how that's going to unfold, and unfortunately that it may spread beyond the borders of Ukraine and Russia, I think he's just saying that that is a risk that the Fed has to be cognizant of.
Okay. And also maybe that, any projections that the Fed make could all be subject to change based on global politics.
100%. Yeah. The Fed has to devise policy for the way the world is now and for some reasonable outcomes. And if that war were to expand, that would probably be beyond their current definition of reasonable outcomes.
Okay, last clip, here we go.
We're at a restrictive stance of monetary policy moderately. We're headed for a much more restrictive stance before very long. And I think the issue is going to be, can we find the right restrictive stance so that, the FOMC can sit there for a while and let the data tell us more about how things are proceeding.
Restrictive stance, is that just the rate and it might go up higher? Is that all he's trying to say there?
Restrictive policy means higher interest rates. That's absolutely what it means. I think that if you read all of the comments that were made by the Fed today, by Fed policymakers today, they are on a path to get the Fed funds rate to about 4.5%. I don't think that there's very much that would change that, absent some, going back to the geopolitical, absent some major geopolitical disruption. I don't think there's any way that the Fed doesn't get to 4.5% in the Fed funds rate. And that's what they mean by restrictive policy. But that's what they wanted, that's what they want to do. They want to get to about 4.5%. And then they want to take a break and reevaluate.
Okay. Scott Nations, you're a lot more than just a Fed translator. You're a smart guy and you talk about a lot of things, but I appreciate you being that to us today. Okay, my friend?
John, it's always fun. Thanks so much.
The Anxious Investor, Mastering the Mental Game of Investing. It's a really good read. You should get it. It's on Amazon, a lot of other places too. Scott Nations. Scott Nations joins us, well, a lot of times, but especially when we are confused or don't know what the Fed is saying or doing. Scott, always great to have you on the show.
Thanks, John. It's good to be here.
Do you like being the Fed translator?
It's interesting to be the Fed translator, and you know, sometimes the Fed needs to be translated. Alan Greenspan famously said that if we understood what he had said, then he had made a mistake.
Oh, so it was always a little too tough for us to get
there
through. That totally makes sense. Before we get to, I'm going to play some clips for you and from the Chicago Fed Prez that we heard today, but I did want to ask you just in general, do you think this week is a very much of a holding pattern till we find out that inflation data Thursday? Just because two inflation reports ago, everyone was in a good mood. The last one, everyone was in a bad mood. This is a big one that comes out Thursday.
It is, and we've had some disappointing inflation data over the past couple of months, which is why we're here right now. I think the data on Thursday will be important, as will corporate earnings. We're going to start getting corporate earnings reports for the third quarter of the year, and those are going to be important also.
All right. I know Iridian's answering the phone calls, too. Iridian, you okay? We'll to play a clip as well. Let's go ahead and, Scott, this was again from the Chicago Fed Prez, Charles Evans, and he was chatting about supply chains and labor shortages. Let's hear this clip.
Labor shortages in a lot of localities that I think are making parts unavailable further down the production line. And so that's, you know, led to less improvement in some goods availability than we would like.
Okay. What translate that for us, Scott?
Well, he's pointing out that potential employers are having a very, very difficult time filling jobs. Mm-hmm. And this is different than it was pre-pandemic. And the Fed's point of view is that the fact that there seems to be a labor shortage, if you will, is going to contribute to inflation. It's going to force employers to pay more to hire the people that they need and want. And that's going to force those employers to raise the cost, raise the price of everything they make. And they're going to pass those increases along to us. So this is not a new phenomenon. I mean, inflation is higher, but despite that, the unemployment rate remains very low, very, very low. And that is indicative of the fact that it's just tough for people to find employees.
Okay, that made sense to me. Let's go to clip number two, Iridian.
Shelter prices, I think there's a long lag there. There's some indication that the decline in house, reduced increases in housing prices are going to be ultimately positive. But, you know, month to month, it's really hard to know exactly how the report will come out.
Okay, talking about housing prices, the shelter price, a lag. What does he mean?
Well, what he means there is that the process of buying, let's take a step back. The process of buying a new winter coat, that happens really quickly. You go out shopping, you go online, you buy a coat, you're done. It's not that way if you're going to buy a house. It takes a long time. You look around, you got to get a mortgage. It takes a matter of months. And so that's what he means when he says there's a lag, and that it just takes a long time for that to happen. Probably the bigger concern here for the market is the fact that mortgage rates, mortgage interest rates have increased so dramatically over the past few months that has to pressure housing prices. So if whoever's buying your house has to pay so much more in interest, they're just not able to pay as much for your house. And So that's gonna pressure prices.
I imagine that the shelter he's talking about could include rent too, because when you sign a lease, that's your rent at least for a year, right? So like, even if you start seeing prices reduced, it takes a while for that to reflect itself, right?
Absolutely. There's a lag in shelter prices, no matter how you look at it. Yeah. But you make a great point. You sign a lease for a year, then it's going to take some time for price pressure up or down to manifest itself.
All right. Scott's not going anywhere. I will tell you, though, he's the author of The Anxious Investor, Mastering the Mental Game of Investing. More from him. We'll get some guesses to the question of the day. Well, let's get a look at weather and traffic. Mary Vandeveld. Scott Nations, you ready to do a little bit more translating for the Fed here?
Absolutely. Let's go.
All right. So we've been chatting about the Chicago Fed president who spoke today and talked a lot about the challenges we still face. And I think I understood part of it. Let's play clip three.
Demand is still stronger than the limited supply that we have. And so our restrictive monetary policies are geared towards getting demand more in line with the reduced supply at a time when I'm also hopeful that supply is going to start expanding because of the improvement in the supply chains and things like that, with labor hopefully coming back a little bit more. So you put all those things together, and I think that you know, that suggests that over the next 6 months we should see improvements in inflation. We're going to have to see those improvements, though, and so that's the real challenge.
He used the word supply and demand so many times I got lost.
Well, I think the interesting thing he said is restrictive policy. So what he's saying is that demand is still greater than supply, and that's just a fancy way of saying he expects more inflation. Okay. And so restrictive policy means higher interest rates engineered by the Fed to reduce that demand. And so what he's saying is they expect more inflation, and so they think that higher interest rates to reduce that inflation would be appropriate right now.
I see that. He should have just said it like that, because that made total sense to me, Scott. We should put you up. I think Charles is on his way out, Mr. Evans. You want to be the Chicago board or Fed board pres?
You know, that may be a job that is really tougher than people think.
I bet.
So I'm not certain that that's right for me.
Okay, let's play clip number four.
I think if you add in adverse geopolitical developments, that would be a real difficult thing to overcome. And so I believe that the scenarios where policy ends up being more restrictive and demand is rocked by it ends up falling would be headline geopolitical risks coming to, you know, fruition, or more supply chain issues breaking down, weather events or things like that. So I think that there ought to be some names or events associated with these adverse outcomes that would lead to much higher unemployment. But, you know, we have to see how this is going to play out.
I don't know what he just said.
Well, John, he used a whole lot of words for some relatively simple concepts. By adverse geopolitical concerns, I think he's talking mostly about the war in Ukraine.
Right.
And we certainly don't want that to spread. But to the degree that it does, or if it were to spread, then that would really change the calculus of everything that's going on. It might very well, and he talks about this, it might very well decrease demand, which would increase unemployment, which is certainly would be undesired. But I think he's talking about the fact that essentially with us not knowing what's going on precisely in Ukraine, or not knowing precisely how that's going to unfold, and unfortunately that it may spread beyond the borders of Ukraine and Russia, I think he's just saying that that is a risk that the Fed has to be cognizant of.
Okay. And also maybe that, you know, any projections that the Fed make could all be subject to change based on global politics.
100%. Yeah. The Fed has to devise policy for the way the world is now and for some reasonable outcomes. And if that were to expand, that would probably be beyond their current definition of reasonable outcomes.
Okay, last clip, here we go.
We're at a restrictive stance of monetary policy moderately. We're headed for a much more restrictive stance before very long, and I think the issue is going to be, can we find the right restrictive stance so that, you know, the FOMC can sit there for a while and let the data tell us more about how things are proceeding.
Restrictive stance, is that just the rate and it might go up higher? Is that all he's trying to say there?
Restrictive policy means higher interest rates. That's absolutely what it means. I think that if you read all of the comments that were made by the Fed today, by Fed policymakers today, they are on a path to get the Fed funds rate to about 4.5%. I don't think that there's very much that would change that, absent some, going back to the geopolitical, absent some major geopolitical disruption. I don't think there's any way that the Fed doesn't get to 4.5% in the Fed funds rate. And that's what they mean by restrictive policy. But that's what they wanted, that's what they want to do. They want to get to about 4.5%. And then they want to take a break and reevaluate.
Okay. Scott Nations, you're a lot more than just a Fed translator. You're a smart guy and you talk about a lot of things, but I appreciate you being that to us today. Okay, my friend?
John, it's always fun. Thanks so much.
The Anxious Investor, Mastering the Mental Game of Investing. It's a really good read. You should get it. It's on Amazon, a lot of other places too. Scott Nations.